Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Jennifer Pemberton. Some Alaska lawmakers are raising red flags about the number of ballots rejected in the special U.S. House primary. Ballots are still being tallied, but so far, about 4% of the ballots received statewide have been rejected. And as Alaska Public Media's Wesley Early reports, that percentage is much higher in rural Alaska communities.
Alaska just held its first statewide mail-in election. In the crowded primary to fill the rest of Congressman Don Young's term, the top four vote-getters are Sarah Palin, Nick Begich, Al Gross, and Mary Peltola. But Anchorage Senator Bill Wilikowski says as votes were tallied in recent days, he was more struck by the number of ballots the state rejected.
These huge numbers of rejected ballots are occurring predominantly in rural Alaska, huge native populations, and in low-income areas of Alaska.
About 6,200 ballots have been rejected so far by the Division of Elections, coming at just under 4% of all ballots. That's double the rejection rate from the 2020 primary. In the most recent results, the rejection percentage varies starkly by region. In areas near Bethel, it's the highest at around 17%. That means about one in every six ballots were rejected and the votes not counted. The rejection rate is above 10% in the Kotzebue and Utqiagvik area, as well as around Nome and Bristol Bay. Along with five other Alaska Senate Democrats, Wilikowski sent a letter to Division of Elections officials on Tuesday asking for an explanation for what they described as a, quote, breakdown of our election system and the democratic process for those citizens whose votes were not counted.
It's really imperative for Division of Elections to get a handle on this, figure out what the problem is, and either figure out a way to educate the voters or remove these unnecessary bureaucratic barriers that are being placed that are making it difficult for low-income and Native voters to vote.
Division of Elections officials say they'll have data on why the ballots were rejected after the election is certified on June 25th. They declined to comment on the senator's letter. Wilikowski says he hasn't gotten answers yet from the division either, but he thinks the issue is likely the witness signature requirement on the ballots. The requirement was in place for the 2020 statewide election for absentee ballots, but a Superior Court ruled that was unconstitutional. Wilikowski describes the witness signature requirement for this election as a, quote, bureaucratic roadblock.
You have a signature requirement, but the Division of Elections has no way to verify the signatures. Then you have a witness requirement, but the Division of Elections doesn't verify the signatures of the witness and doesn't even verify that the witness lives in Alaska or is even a living person.
Wilikowski says one potential solution to this problem is through a process called ballot curing. In 24 states, officials will notify residents if there's an issue with their ballot and allow them to make any needed changes before counting it. Currently in Alaska, the state will notify somebody by mail if their ballot is rejected 10 days after the election is certified.
That's something I think the Division of Elections needs to look into. I know in the legislature we had legislation to allow ballot cure. Unfortunately, it didn't pass. But I'm curious if the Division of Elections has the emergency regulatory authority to just enact that on its own. We're talking about a fundamental right, one of the most fundamental rights that any person has in a democracy is the right to vote.
Historically, elections in Alaska can be close, with Representative Bryce Edgman's election in 2006 being decided by a coin toss, and Representative Bart Laban winning his election by one vote in 2018, a matter that reached the Alaska Supreme Court. Wilikowski says that history also underscores the need to ensure that every Alaska ballot is counted. With three more statewide elections set to happen this year, Wilikowski says if the Division of Elections can't address the issue, a special session of the legislature may be required. In Anchorage, I'm Wesley Early.
Juneau's Riverbend Elementary School is now called Kach de Guwuhin. On Tuesday night, the Board of Education passed the proposal to give the school a Tlingit name. Kach de Guwuhin translates to going back to clear water. It's used to refer to a part of the Mendenhall River. The name won't be added to the end of Riverbend, but it will replace the name entirely. That's different from some of the other schools that have changed their names. Students have been practicing the new name for months.
Kach de
Guwuhin. Kach de Guwuhin.
Kach de Guwuhin. Our new school is named Kach de Guwuhin.
That's from a video the school put together for their proposal. The name change was proposed to the Board of Education about 2 months ago. Kach de Guwuhin is now one of six schools in Juneau with a Tlingit name. There are another six schools in the Juneau School District that don't yet have proposed name changes. Juneau officials say the group seeking to repeal the mandatory disclosure of real estate prices doesn't appear to have enough signatures for their question to reach the October ballot. But they're not done validating them yet. Ann Sparks is a local realtor working on the repeal effort. She shared a status update Wednesday afternoon.
So as of right now, they have not given us a total number, as they're still certifying half the books. So they've only made it halfway through, and so we don't have an exact number to tell anyone. It sounds like it will be a small margin that we're behind.
The group initially submitted about 2,500 signatures to the city. That was more than they needed, but the signature validation process is still ongoing, and so far the city says they're coming up short. The group will get 10 extra days to collect more signatures, though. City Clerk Beth McEwen said on Tuesday that her office has been working extra long hours to get through the process, but she didn't have an estimate for when they would finish. The petition group wants to repeal two ordinances that make it mandatory to share the sales price of real estate and other related information with the city assessor's office. City staff said the information will improve the accuracy of property assessments and lead the tax burden to be more fairly distributed. The referendum supporters say it's an invasion of privacy that will lead to higher taxes. The city's election rules give the group an extra 10 days to collect more qualified signatures to meet the threshold of about 2,100. Sparks says she expects the clock will start running tomorrow when additional signature gathering books are ready. Her goal is to collect 500 more. There's still plenty of pride left in Juneau this month, with a dozen pride events still planned. The events range from celebratory to silly, and there are events that highlight the oppression and mistreatment LGBTQ plus people have faced both here in Juneau and across the world, like a showing of the film Blue Ticket, which tells the story of the banishment of gay men in Juneau in the 1960s. Many of the events are open to all ages.
Yeah, we wanted to have a little something for everyone.
That's Abby Spofford, the Southeast Alaska LGBTQ plus alliance known as SIGLA. She says the community wanted pride events the whole family could join. That includes Juneau's four-legged friends, too. On Tuesday, SIGLA is hosting a proud pet parade at Sandy Beach.
People in Juneau are, like, in love with their pets, specifically dogs, but also other pets. So we didn't want to exclude those.
A Pride prom dance on Saturday is for all ages. It's a chance for LGBTQ plus people to attend a prom in the way that they may have wanted to, but were unable to when they were in high school. This time they can show up with their partner of choice and their clothing of choice, even and especially if their outfits are non-gender conforming.
Basically just an opportunity for queer people to re-experience prom if they didn't have a great time the first time.
Other events include a game night, scavenger hunt, pride trivia night, pub crawl, pride picnic, and a tea dance. The tea dance is an event that memorializes afternoon gatherings in the 1960s when gay men would drink tea instead of alcohol. It was illegal then to serve alcohol to known gay people. For details on all these events, go to aksegla.org. That's aksegla.org. It's 78 degrees at Juneau International Airport right now. There's a slight chance of thunderstorms this evening, but tonight is still expected to be clear with lows around 50. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny with highs in the lower to mid-70s, so not quite as warm. And the clouds might start to come in Friday night, but Saturday is expected to be sunny with highs in the mid-60s. The chance of rain comes late on Saturday night. The normal temperature for today is 63 degrees. The record is 85 set back in 2013. The sun sets tonight at 10:07. It will be back up at 3:51 tomorrow morning. The summer solstice is next week. This is KTOO News. For these stories and much, much more, head to our website, ktoo.org. I'm Jennifer Pemberton.